o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
For our service, we are blessed to be together and with our Lord as he promises himself, where he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We have a blessed service planned for you this morning. Question to consider this morning for our service and our sermon, will God come through for me? Will God come through for me? And certainly he will, as we'll examine this morning. If you're joining us on the radio, we thank you for tuning in this morning to our worship service, and we're thankful that you did. We wish you the Lord's blessings as you join us throughout this time of our divine service this morning. Today, our service begins with hymn 912, Christ is our cornerstone. Would you join us in singing this morning? And if you're able, please stand on the last verse of the hymn. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
It is with joy this morning that we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our introit this morning comes from Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. We continue with our Kyrie spoken this morning. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer, for you alone are the Holy You alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Yes.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you gave your Son into the hands of sinful men who killed him. Forgive us when we reject your unfailing love, and grant us the fullness of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Testament reading for this morning on the 19th Sunday after Pentecost comes from the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it, and he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up, and I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, for behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3. The Apostle writes by the Spirit, "If anyone else thinks he has a reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we sing our Alleluia verse and hear the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a winepress in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first. And they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their season." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us in singing our sermon hymn for today? It's hymn 644, "The Church's One Foundation." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text this morning comes from our bulletin, but not in the regular sections of our reading, like we're used to. Instead, if you take your bulletin for me real quick and flip back to page 2 in your bulletin, about the middle of the page, you'll see the second response at the beginning of our service this morning. The first response to the invocation was, Amen. But the second response, look at what you and I said this morning, but right before our corporate confession and absolution. In our response, say it with me if you would. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know where that response comes from? I'm sure many of you do. It's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And in our liturgy, we confess a direct quote of that text. That's exactly what it says in verse 9 of 1 John chapter 1. Exactly what we just said. And I'd like to talk about it this morning, as it tells us some very important things about God and his real and cleansing forgiveness. First, let's take a look, if you've still got it open there, at those adjectives used to describe God after we say, but if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. Faithful. That means that we can count on him every single time to come through for us. He will not let us down. He is faithful. The concept of faithfulness is worth a look, because we don't see faithfulness in the world near as often as we should. What our experience of life often is better described by the word unfaithfulness. Have you had someone ever before in your life be deceptive towards you on purpose? It's kind of an unfaithful thing to do, isn't it? Perhaps they've tried to cheat you out of something. Ever experienced that? God forbid that we'd experience unfaithfulness in marriage. But it happens. It happens a lot nowadays. Unfaithfulness is the experience the sinful world has to give to us. Unfair business dealings, corruption in governments around the world. We see unfaithfulness all the time, and it can get us to the point where we start even wondering, if does faithfulness even really exist on earth? Or is everybody just up to something? Do they have a game, an objective, a goal? Why are they being nice to me? Right? Because we can end up with this skeptical view of the world. We can end up skeptics ourselves in that sense, all the way to the point, friends, where we won't really fully trust anyone. But in that sense, we'll be alone. Ask yourself this morning, who do I fully, not qualified, fully trust? If your only answer is you, then the world has done this to you. And that's a scary thing. Why is it so scary? Well, because there is one that is faithful. There is one we can trust. His name is Jesus. And he's given us his word. And it is at work in the world. I hope that that's not the way you're feeling today. I really do. But God wants us to know that he's faithful. He remains faithful. And the scripture is going to say this everywhere, throughout the scripture, about our God. That he's faithful, that he keeps his promises. Jeremiah, when he writes in his book of Lamentations, which is obviously by the title a book of sad things or laments, because Jeremiah in his life as a prophet, it was filled with suffering. He was taken captive away from his homeland, lost his family. And in that book of his laments, he writes this in chapter 3. He says to God in that chapter, "Great is thy faithfulness." We might remember the hymn, of course. That comes from the Bible, too. We are blessed in our church to have historic and biblical liturgy and hymns. "Great is thy faithfulness." Beautiful hymn. We ought to, brothers and sisters, believe and not doubt that no matter what troubles we might be facing or have faced, no matter what scars you bear on your hearts, as sure as the resurrection of Christ, God is faithful. This morning in our text, he's faithful in specifically what? Forgiving us and cleansing us of all our unrighteousness. That's what we confess. That we can always count on him. And I know how this goes because I'm, you know, living in this world and dealing with life and just like you are. When somebody says to you, "God is faithful, don't worry, friend." It's encouraging, right? It's supposed to be. But there's something there still bothering us, right? I know God's faithful, but I don't know what he's up to, right? Still doesn't negate that he's faithful, that we can trust him. In this, he's talking specifically in our text this morning about forgiveness and his faithfulness in forgiveness. And this we need to hear too. When we repent of our sins, God is, as we said, faithful in our forgiveness. That we're completely cleansed by the blood of his cross. Just like the blood on the lamp or on the doorposts of the houses of Israel the night of the Passover. Judgment doesn't stop at their door, but passes on by. We're fully forgiven by the power of his declaration of our forgiveness. It fully does the job. That's what God says. And we pray and together that God might silence every thought that says otherwise. Every thought. He doesn't want us living in guilt. He doesn't want us living in shame. Paul is saying in his epistles that we should take every thought into captivity to the word of Christ. And friends, God has given you a mind, and he's given you power over your mind. And so with that and with the word of God, we take those thoughts into captivity to the word of Christ. Any thought that would tell us, or any conception of a thought that would doubt God's perfect and complete forgiveness, is a questioning of his faithfulness. And it's a lie. And it comes from Satan, the father of lies, as Jesus himself says in John's gospel. It's not true. God loves you. God rejoices over you. You're his precious child. And may he help us to listen to no other voice than the voice of our Heavenly Father. But there's one more thing there, isn't there? The text says, and we said this morning, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's look there at the justice of God for a minute. His justice. How can our forgiveness be just? This is an interesting discussion, I think. He's just, and His Holy Spirit brings us this reassuring comfort in the justice of our forgiveness as well. He wants us to know that God is faithful to forgive, but He also wants us to know that God is just in His forgiving. Because that's something that we kind of doubt sometimes. Don't we? We do. I mean, if someone came to me, or I'm sure this is probably true for you too, they come to you or me and they say, "I'm sorry for what I did." But then they come again another time and they say, "Oh, I know I did it again, but I'm sorry." You say, okay. And then they come again. "I'm sorry." You're making this tough, right? But okay. And then they come again. And then they come again. At what point does it seem unjust to actually say, "I forgive you"? Jesus says we should forgive our brothers and sisters from our hearts 70 times 7. Over and over and over we should forgive. But to us, it can seem kind of unjust when they just keep coming back and asking for forgiveness for the same thing over and over again. I challenge you this morning to think about this God's way instead of your own. Jesus died on the cross for us. Every sin and every guilt was hung on that cross also. He bore all our shame and all our sin. Jesus gave up His life for us. He gave up His life for you, for your yesterday, yes. For your today, absolutely. But also for your tomorrow. He can see it all and does. That means that every absolution that we hear and every pronouncement of our forgiveness that comes to our ears is not empowered, this is God's way, is not empowered by our adjustments in behavior. Whoa, Pastor, whoa. You gonna go that far? You really are? I am gonna go that far because He does. It's not empowered or substantiated or earned by what we do. This is God's way. We can't use that as a free pass to sin, right? It's like, well, Jesus has already forgiven my sins tomorrow. Is that what you're saying? Paul talks about that in his epistles, right? He says, "Should we sin knowing that grace abounds? It can never be." Because that's not the way the Spirit of Christ leads us as believers. But it does mean that our forgiveness is just. God is just in our forgiveness every time. Because it's Christ and what He did on the cross that our forgiveness is based on. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We get what it means when the text says that He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. It was Jesus who paid that price. And we know that we daily sin much. But there's a little bit more here too. So I want to keep going on this verse for just a few more minutes. See, there's two basic ways we sin against God. There's sins of what we call commission. And those are the sins that where we do and say things that we shouldn't do or say. Like in the parable that we heard this morning with the tenants, the wicked tenants in the vineyard. They know the fifth commandment. thou shalt not murder. But then when the son shows up and all the other servants, they go ahead and murder them. That's a sin of commission. The sins that we know and that we don't know, even if we don't know them yet, but we do anyway. Things that we say that we shouldn't say. But there's also sins of omission. Sins of omission are the things that we leave undone, that we should do. And those can be awful too. Complete the sentence in your mind for me here. I should have. If I only would have. When the scripture says God is faithful and just to forgive our sins, he's talking about both. Commission and omission. The things we've done, as we said in our confession this morning, and the things we've left undone. He forgives it all. We're fully forgiven for what we've done and what we've left undone, and our forgiveness is complete. Yes, there's some voice in the mind that struggles with this, but it's true. Thus saith the Lord God. Every I is dotted and every T is crossed, and nothing is left out, absolutely nothing. When the Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 7, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. It was talking about what happened for us this morning. And what happens when we pray to our Father in heaven and say, Lord, please forgive me of my sin. I did this, or I didn't do this, or I said this, or I didn't say this. And he hears us. Somehow our voice makes it all the way from wherever we are, and all the way up to the heavens, because he's with us. We're completely cleansed by the blood of the cross. You say, Pastor, you've said that like 100 times in this sermon. I know. I know. Over and over and over, we need to hear it. Because he really does love us. Okay, last thing. The text said this morning, and we said, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let's look at the very last part. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My whole life I heard this verse, and I thought it was an example of duplication for emphasis. Like in Hebrew poetry, we see that all the time. You basically say the same thing in two different ways in order to make a bigger point, right? Forgive our sins, listen closely, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As to say, hey, you're completely forgiven, like we've been saying, and we are. But this week at our pastors and teachers conference that I was blessed to be at, I was shown that there's more about this text that I did not know. Of course there is, right? God always has abundantly more to give than we even know to ask for. So I want to show you. If you look at that text again there in your bulletin on page 2, look at the end of it. It says, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word unrighteousness right there, that word is a negation in the original language of the word you see up just before it when it says God is faithful and just. Okay? So in the original language, the word that's translated to just is the same word translated at the bottom of the verse to unrighteousness, but it's negated. So the word is dikaios for just, and then the word for unrighteousness is the same word, dikaios, except for in that form, it's pronounced ah dikaios. There's an A or an alpha at the beginning of the word, which is the way that Greek negates the word, okay? So it says that he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins. And when we move, you know, biblical text or any text from one language to another, we can lose meaning in the process of translation, nuances and important meaning. And unfortunately, that can happen in this text. It happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to you. But I want you to listen to the verse in a more addict translation of the verse so that that meaning isn't lost and that nuance isn't gone, because it's very important. The text, if we translate it a bit more addictly or a bit more literally, it would sound something like this. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all injustice. So we do sin by commission, we do sin by omission, and we do commit injustices ourselves. Those are certainly forgiven, for sure, because he's faithful and just like the text says. But this opens up the nuance that's missed in the transmission of the language from Greek to English, because injustice also happens to us. Injustice also happens not just from us, but also to us. So if we've been scandalized, hurt, violated, lied to, or worse, or if someone has done something in our past unspeakable to us, and we recognize that every hurt that happens to us, every violation, whatever it is in some ways kind of different, right? We don't want to lump them all together and say that everybody's suffering in the same way, because we're not. Everybody's hurting in a different way. And we recognize that. Some ways that we get sinned against can be downright horrific, especially if it's someone who we thought was faithful. Then they surprise us. But what God wants us to understand this morning is that he's faithful and he's just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all injustice. Notice it's a different word, right? Cleanse. What's cleansing? Cleansing is having all of it washed off. Huh? All the things that people did to me, all the hurts and violations and bad things that have happened that the world, the devil, and the sinful flesh has brought my way. What are you saying, Lord? That you can take all those things away? That's exactly what he's saying, yes. And that he's faithful and just to do it. They're washed away. And they're washed away by the blood of the one who was violated. Our Lord Jesus, he was violated so badly and sinned against so badly that they pounded his literal flesh to a cross, and then they raised him up for the birds to pick at and for him to die. He's faithful to cleanse us of the injustices that God has brought to an end in Christ Jesus, and we wait for that end. We wait for it with patience and with hope. This verse tells us that God doesn't just forgive our sins. That's a powerful thing to say. But he also cleanses us from all the unrighteousness and injustices that have been done to us. So we can each this morning bring our different violations up to this altar. The different ways that we've been hurt, we can bring them to the one who was hurt. As he speaks to us in his word, that he's present with us this morning in our fellowship, and that he feeds us from his own table today, his very own body and blood that were violated, so that ours and our hurts and our sufferings can be washed away. We can rest assured that what we've done and what we left undone and all that's been done to us, while all different, are all fully cleansed this morning, taken away, washed whiter than snow, paid for and removed from us by the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ on his cross. And we are clean by the blood of the Lamb. That is what we said in our second response this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, "Hear our prayer." Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you have planted, matured, and hedged around your vineyard, the church. You sent your dear Son to give his life for her. Inspire your church, Lord, by your Spirit, to yield much fruit for your kingdom, and grant that many find shelter in your forgiveness and, Lord, in your cleansing. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, since your Son has made us his own by his death, grant that we may share in his sufferings with confidence, and that we may also know the power of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, Lord, grant all those who are lonely companionship, all those who are orphans, a safe place in which to grow and thrive. Lord, bring into their lives generous couples who will open their hearts and adopt them and love them. Lord, bring to all those who've been hurt, which is us all, your cleansing, your peace that passes our understanding. Lord, in your mercy. Father, shine your light upon us that we may do what is good and right and live as faithful citizens of our nation. Lord, this morning we ask that you'd bless Joseph, our president. Lord, that you'd bless Jared, our governor, and all those elected and appointed to make and administer and judge our laws. Lord, in your mercy. Father, you are the divine vine dresser. You prune those whom you love. We pray that you'd strengthen our hearts to heed your law, to know your justice, that we may never presume to sin nor trust in our own deeds, but to look to your grace in the rainfall of your gospel for our source of life. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you bring forth from this barren earth a holy people to press forward to your heavenly goal. Lord, direct our zeal toward your good and gracious purpose. Prosper the work of our hands, Lord, as here at Trinity, we have amazing opportunities to share this blessed message of your love and forgiveness with people who are blind and deaf to it. Lord, give us those opportunities. And Lord, we'll look to you for the strength and the wisdom to do it. Lord, in your mercy. Oh Lord, prepare our hearts this morning to receive your own body and blood and your holy supper. Lord, strengthen us in faith and renew us in love by your holy communion. Bring us, Lord, at last with all the saints to dwell in your everlasting presence. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we have people that are connected with our church, here at our church, or at least friends of our church who need your help. Lord, we name them for you this morning. The Crochel family, the family of April Yon, Debbie Ford, Sandra Cody, Mike and Troy Kirk, Dave Sturr, Jim and Linda Holman, Dennis Ortiz, Letha Hershey, J.D. Deacon, Dale Randorf, James Mills, Carolyn Jerry, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Heavenly Father, in Christ, we lift these names to you because we, by your work and spirit and your word, know that you're faithful. Lord, in your mercy. Father, as we hear on the news of the bombings in the Middle East, Lord, we are drawn to ask you to help them, to protect people with peace in their land, and to thwart all war and bloodshed. Lord, we ask you this humbly. We know in your faithfulness you have a plan for this world. Lord, we'd be counted as blessed if we can trust that. Lord, be with those people. We lift them to you today. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, you sing the song of your love over the vineyard of your church. Lift her united in voice and spirit, that she would turn freely to praise you and your lavish grace, and to proclaim your salvation beyond her walls through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. At this time, we come to the point in our service where we collect our tithes and our offerings, and we're able to give back to the Lord a portion of that which he's blessed us with. As the offerings are collected and presented, we invite you to sing stanzas 1, 3, and 6 of hymn number 760. They're printed for you on page 10 in your bulletin. you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service and wish you the Lord's blessings throughout the rest of your day and your coming week. If you're gathered with us here in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to please stand if you're able and turn over to page 11 in your bulletin for our service of the sacrament and our preface. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, our Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance."
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK.